Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm glad you're in church with me this morning. Yes, I am. And then if you have your Bibles, would you go to the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 6. And you seem quiet this morning, so I'm going to give you a little humor. Here you go. A man and his ever-nagging wife went on vacation to Jerusalem. And while they were there, the wife passed away. And the undertaker told the husband, he said, you can have her buried in the Holy Land for $150, or you can have her shipped back for $5,000. And the husband thought about it, and he told the undertaker, he said, well, I'll just have her shipped back home. And the undertaker said, well, why would you spend $5,000 to have her shipped back home when you could pay $150 and have her buried in the Holy Land? And the husband said, well, long ago, a man died here. He was buried here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He said, I just can't take that chance. All right, nobody get offended. That's just humor. It's just to make you laugh. That's not how we feel about you ladies. We love you. All right, the book of Luke chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 35. If you're ready, say amen. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Verse 36, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. I'm going to talk to you this morning about this subject. How do we relate to a mean world? God, help us for the next few minutes. Anoint my mind and my mouth. Help me to speak into the heart, the spirit of this people. And we give you thanks and praise. And everybody say amen. God bless you. You can be seated. It's pretty obvious the world that we're living in is not getting more kind and more loving. It is becoming increasingly self-centered. Again, it is unfortunate that the world that we live in is becoming increasingly more rude, probably even more so than it was even 10 years ago. Unfortunately, racial violence is not going away. Prejudice is probably not going away. Politics, as we know and as we see on a daily basis, is more divided now in America than it's ever been. So how will we as Christians, how are all of us in this room that I'm addressing this morning, how are we going to relate to a mean world? In a mean world, one of the greatest witnesses that we as Christians can give is to show mercy. Look at your neighbor and say, show mercy. You say, Pastor, why is that one of the greatest things that we can do? Here's why. Because showing mercy is so unusual today in which we live. It's just you don't see much of it. And that's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, if you show mercy, you're going to receive mercy. And Jesus speaking here said, show mercy to others, just as your heavenly Father shows mercy to you. How can I do that, Pastor? Well, here's how you can do it. You can show mercy in your neighborhood. You can show mercy in your home. You can show mercy when you go on your job. You can show mercy to the people that you hang out with. Mercy begins with being aware. Because if you are aware, it means you care. And if you're not aware, it's because you're not caring. Mercy simply means you're paying attention to those that are around you. The reason why that many of us are not showing mercy, it's not because we're bad people. We're not bad people. It's because we're busy. And we're busy going from one event to the next, from one project to the next. We have this meeting, we have this scheduled, and we're just busy. And because we're busy, we're not taking the time to really be aware. Here's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, this is a different translation, but it says, look out for one another's interest and not just your own. How much would the world change if we would just hold a door open for somebody and say, here, come on in. How different would the world be if we Christians, I'm not talking about to people that are outside of this church, I'm talking to all of us in this room. How much of an impact could we make on our families and in our homes and in this community if we would simply do what Philippians 2 and 4 says? Stop looking just for your interest and start looking out for others. Mercy, brothers and sisters, begins with loving and listening. I remember when Trey and Molly were just small kids, and I'm sure if you've raised kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They're small, they're little, and they're out on the swing set, and you're trying to mow, and they're screaming at the top of their lungs, look at me, Daddy. Look at me. Or you're in the house and you're trying to read or study or read the paper, and they come over and slap the paper down and say, look at me. I want to show you my tumble. And so they turn backwards once, and you're like, oh, that was so awesome. Okay, you're all adults in here, so you can handle what I'm fixing to tell you. Sex is not the highest form of love, ladies and gentlemen. It's not. Attention is. You don't spell love, L-O-V-E, you spell it T-I-M-E. Because whatever you give your attention to, you're saying, I love you. Because see, you can give people money and you can earn more money. You can give people gifts and you can find gifts. You can give people stuff and you can get more stuff. But when you give people your undivided attention, you are giving them a slice of your life that you will never get back. You're sharing with them something that you will never get back. And when you tune into people, what you're telling them is this. This is the best I've got. This is my attention. And because I'm focused in on you, it means one thing. It means I'm showing you mercy. It means I love you. Okay? Husbands and daddies, understand something. You can come up to me and say, I don't get it. I give my kids everything they need. I provide for my wife. They have food, clothing, shelter. I give it all to them. That ought to be enough. I get where you're coming from, but listen, you know what? They want more than food, clothing, and shelter. Here's what they want. They want you. That's what they want. They want you and they want your attention, and it's worth more than you could give them on anything else. You can buy them toys. You can give them money. You can give them gifts. But what they want is you, because that's the highest form of love that you can show them. We're not bad people. We're not rude people. We're just not taking the time to be aware of people. There are people that are hurting all around us. And if we would just take some of our time and give a listening ear, do you understand that your ears can be healing for somebody that just needs a person to listen to them? People pay good money for a counselor just to listen to them. Here's how you can show mercy. Don't be offended by other people's sins. Now, it's going to stay quiet in here today. Grace and mercy, brothers and sisters, is unconditional. God doesn't look at you and say, as a sinner, okay, go clean up your act and then come back and we'll talk. God doesn't look at you and say, go clean up your life and then maybe I'll be okay with you. He doesn't say, go get everything right, and then when you get everything right, then come back and maybe we'll talk. God doesn't say that. You know why? Because grace is messy. Grace is messy. How come? Because God doesn't ask you to get all cleaned up and get good in order to get Him. Get God and then you can get good. But grace is messy. And you know what? Pentecostals, we get offended by other people's sins. Can I tell you, Jesus was not offended by sinners. How do you know that? Because I read the scripture where Jesus invested his time with prostitutes, publicans, and tax collectors. The Bible says to look out for the needs of other people around you. I can't look out for them if I'm looking down on them. Can I say it again? I can't look out for them if I'm looking down on them. Oh, I can't believe you're doing that. I just can't tolerate that. Quit being offended by people's sins. Go back 30 years ago and remind yourself of where you were and who you were before the long arm of the Lord found you. Come on, Pentecostals. We need to remember where God brought all of us from. And even after 30 years of God giving us grace, we still have issues in our life. And it's amazing to me as pastor how we can be so judgmental to people after we got 30 years under our belt. We need to have a remembrance of where God brought us from. God showed us mercy. That's why we're here this morning. It's for the mercy and the grace of God. Somebody give God some praise in this house. As a Christian, if you're looking down on that person, you're not looking out for that person. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then none of us in this room should be looking down on people. I need to preach a series. I don't know that I will, but I should preach a series on this. Things that Jesus never said. I should preach a series on that. Jesus never said, you don't have to love that type. Never said that. Jesus never said, their morals are not high enough for me, forget them. Jesus never said that. Jesus never looked at the prostitute and said, you've been selling your body, I can't hang out with you. Jesus never said that. Jesus never looked at the tax collector who was one of the most hated people. And he never said, well, you've robbed, you've been all involved in extortion. I'm not hanging out with you. Never said that. Why? Because Jesus was not offended by people's sins. He wasn't looking down on people. He was always trying to lift up people. Does that make sense? If you and I are going to be agents of mercy, you have to show mercy not to just somebody that you like, but to everybody. Everybody needs mercy. Everybody needs mercy. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 22. Here's what it says. Some having compassion, making a difference. Again, you've heard me say this, but it doesn't say some being mightily anointed of God and fully on fire, making a difference. We should. We should be anointed. We should have the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yes, but it doesn't say that. It says having compassion, making a difference. When Jesus saw the leper, it didn't say a mighty anointing came on him. He said he had compassion. The leper looked at him and said, will you make me clean? Jesus said, I will. He had compassion on that leper and he made a difference. We need to stop looking down our noses at people because they're not where you are. It took you a long time to get here. Show mercy to people. Don't be offended by them. How are they going to know what you have unless you extend a hand of mercy? Can I get a witness in this house? Here's what this verse goes on to say. Having compassion make a difference. In other words, Pentecostals, you don't tell them, well, you better turn or burn while I eat pie up in the sky. No, we don't do that. Here's what the scripture says, showing mercy to those whose faith is wavering. That's another translation from Jude 1 and 22. So there's a guy out there and he says, well, I'm an atheist. And you don't look down at your nose and say, oh, an atheist. Ugh. I'm not talking to you. No, here's what you say according to Jude. Well, your faith is wavering. How can I show mercy to that person? Or a person says, I'm an agnostic. You don't say an agnostic. How can you not believe? You don't do that. according to the scripture, you just say, well, that person's faith is wavering, and you allow the mercy and the compassion of God to begin to make a difference. And you don't talk to them about what they're not doing. You try to find common ground and begin to show them mercy and begin to show them love as your heavenly Father showed to you. Does this make sense? Okay. Now, if you keep reading in Jude chapter 1 and verse 22, it goes on to say that be careful that your garments are not contaminated by their sins. All right, so here's an important part that I want to say. Showing mercy, ladies and gentlemen, does not mean that I excuse everything and that I say everything is okay. It's not okay. If you're here this morning and you're addicted to anything outside of Jesus Christ, I'm probably going to tell you whether it's food, whether it's nicotine, or whether it's anything else, I'm not going to get up here and say, it's okay. It's not okay. Okay? I love you, but it's not okay. But here is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you mercy. I can show you mercy and still not approve of what you're doing. Okay? I'm just not going to get corrupted by it. I'm not going to get myself involved in it because the Lord says, be careful that you don't get contaminated. So in other words, there is a difference between acceptance and approval. There are some things my family members are doing on my mother's side. I accept them for who they are, but I don't approve of what they're doing. But you know what? You're not going to win people you're fighting against. If you're abrasive, you're not going to be persuasive. I'm going to say that again. If you're abrasive with people, you're not going to be persuasive. I can accept and not approve. I can love you and not participate in the sin. Pentecostals, you got to have a strong enough filter that you can walk out into that world and show mercy and love people for who they are, where they are, what they're doing, and still say, you know what, I love you, but I don't approve. That's mercy. Are you with me this morning? Jesus accepts people completely, but he does not approve of everything that they do. And there is a difference. We are to love people, though we do not accept some of what they do. We love them. Are you with me? 1 Peter 4 and 8 says this, most importantly, have fervent love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sin. It doesn't mean that I don't see it. It doesn't mean that I'm not aware of it. It just means that my love for you covers that in mercy. I know that there's Pentecostals that have a hard time with that, but love covering a multitude of sins, that is beautiful. Because that's exactly what Jesus did to you. He didn't call you out and say, well, you sinner. I mean, my God, I can't believe you're doing that. Mm-mm. His love just covered that. Isn't that beautiful? He didn't approve of what you were doing, but he accepted you the way you are. How are we going to relate to a mean world, a world that is so unloving and unkind, is very prejudiced, very divided right now? Our nation is extremely divided. How are we going to relate in the day-to-day life to a very mean world? Here's your answer. Show mercy. Show mercy. Why? Because it's so unusual that people are going to say, when you see mercy out of somebody, you're going to say, you know what? I think that's how Christ would have done it. And it's going to be so different that they're going to want what you have. Here's another way to show mercy to a mean world. Don't expect unbelievers to act like believers until they are. Are y'all with me? We want everybody to act like Christians when they're not even Christians. The Bible says they don't have the power to change. How many of you started a diet the first of this year? Let me see your hand. I'm going to call you out. How many of you are still on it? Mm-hmm. You know, most people that get a subscription to the gym across the street, it's not even March yet. Most of them, they're not even showing up. You know why? Because willpower, they have found that willpower only lasts 90 days. Willpower lasts 90 days. And what we're wanting people to do, we're wanting people to change to be like Christians until they are one. You cannot change yourself in some ways until you have God's power. You need more than willpower. You need God's power. And God's power is what will help you to change to become more like Him. Quit expecting unbelievers to act like believers. They're not going to do it. To ask a non-believer to have the same moral standards as a believer is nonsense. First of all, they don't understand it. And second of all, they don't have the power to do it. It's like getting the cart before the horse. The whole book of Romans tells you that the law is powerless to change you. That's what it tells you. That's what the whole book of Romans is about. The law is powerless to change you. That's why you need grace. And that's why you need mercy. And that's why you need love. Because everything the law could not do, His love can. His grace can. His mercy can. Only grace, ladies and gentlemen, can change people's lives. I'm going to keep preaching this morning. Only mercy can change people's lives. The law has never changed anybody. It never has. The law may force you to drive the speed limit, but as soon as you think you're safe, guess what you do? If it says 55, you do what? 60. If it says 65, you do what? 70. And if you're on the interstate and it says 75, what do? There you go. And you know the law. You've seen the stop sign or you've seen the speed limit, 55, 65, 75. But you know what you do? You go 5 miles over because that's human nature. And we are trying to make these moral laws to make non-believers into good people. And you can make laws till you're blue in the face. Ladies and gentlemen, it's got to come from your heart. And if it doesn't come from your heart, you can understand the rule. But if you don't have the relationship, you're going to rebel against it every time. Am I helping anybody this morning? This is why we as Pentecostals, we were so good at sharing the rules with our teenagers, but we have almost lost a whole generation because we were good at thou shalt not, but we were not good at showing them how do I develop a relationship with Jesus Christ so that it's not the rule telling me to do this. It's my relationship that I want to do it because I love Him. I want to look like Him, act like Him, talk like Him, walk like Him, show mercy like Him. It's in my heart to do it. A law can never make you do that. Somebody give God some praise in this house right now. You can't be offended by people's sins if you're going to show them mercy. Now I'm going to show you a great example of it found in Matthew 9:9. Jesus meets with tax collectors. He meets with prostitutes and He meets with sinners. And I've got to hurry, but if you were a tax collector in that day, you were one of the most hated people in all of that land. Because Rome said that you got to collect certain taxes. Whatever you get above that, you can keep. So if they didn't pay, then they were thrown in jail. So they were in a catch-22. But now this tax collector can make all kinds of money because he could tell you, you owe $16.51 when really, all they really owed is $7.80. But if they didn't pay, then he could throw them in jail. So they were hated and they were becoming very wealthy off of extortion. And yet that's the people that Jesus went and had dinner with. Now, this is a little different version for you, but it's the truth. Are you ready for this? I don't know that you are. The people came and said, John's disciples, they neither ate nor drank. But Jesus and His disciples, they hang out with sinners and they're always drinking and eating. And the Pharisees, though it doesn't say this in your Bible, another version says, and they accused Him of being a party animal. Imagine that. Imagine your Jesus that died for you, who He hung out with. Matthew 9:9 will tell you it was tax collectors, it was prostitutes, it was publicans, and it was sinners. And He went to their house and they had a meal together. And the Pharisees absolutely hated it. They called him a drunkard and a wine bibber, a glutton. That's what they called your Jesus. It's in there. You can look. It's in there. That's what they called Jesus. But now, I want you to understand something. Here's what Jesus said back to them. Okay, you ready for this? He said, healthy people do not need a doctor. Sick people need a doctor. He said, then go and learn the meaning of this scripture. Verse 13 says, I want you to be merciful and not offer sacrifices. See, they could offer sacrifices because they were real good at that, because they could take their little lamb and slaughter their little lamb and said, well, I offered a sacrifice. I did it. I obeyed the rule. I'm all good. And Jesus said, I ain't wanting your sacrifices. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the next step, and I want you to show mercy. Oh, now you're asking me to do something that goes against my grain. And then he went on to say, you know what? I didn't come to you Pharisees. I came to those that need me. I didn't call the righteous. I'm calling sinners to repentance. I didn't come for people that think they're well. I come for people that know they're sick. They know that they're broken, and they know that they have problems. And so I'm inviting sinners to come to me, not those that think they're righteous. Now, Pentecostals, hang on, tighten your seatbelt. But it was the religious Pharisees, the legalists, that could not stand Jesus. They could sacrifice, but they didn't want to show mercy. They didn't want to show love. They didn't want to hang out with anybody that didn't look like them, because then they were afraid they wasn't going to get the approval of everyone. They were looking down on all of these. These are a bunch of drunks and glutton. But Jesus was not looking for their approval. Ooh. Caitlin, we have Caitlin Sullivan here this morning. And Caitlin is a daughter of one of my closest friends, Tim Sullivan. And Tim pastors an incredible church in North Little Rock. All right, Caitlin, don't take this tape and give it to your daddy. I'm just joking. It's good to see you both. Good to see you. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that this message doesn't go over too well in Pentecostal circles, because we have a hard job of speaking to someone that doesn't even attend our church, much less somebody that we know is not doing right. Oh, yeah. Y'all can say amen. Or oh me. I can even stretch myself to get out in the 3-minute meet and greet and shake your hand. But it's going to be hard for me to say hi to you at the store, because I don't see things just the way you do. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was never like that. He showed mercy. Look at your neighbor and say, show mercy. Tell them, give love away. How do you relate to a mean world? That's how you do it. You show mercy. Jesus, if some of you guys would quit worrying about what is my neighbor going to think if they see me with this person, if some of you would stop worrying about that, you could show mercy and you could really start showing the love of Christ and make an impact on people's lives if you would stop worrying about what people thought. In other words, Jesus was going to go where the needs of people were, and he wasn't offended by their sins, because you can't help somebody if you're offended by them. You got to be able to show mercy. I'm hurrying. Here's the third way that you can show mercy to a cruel world, is choose your words wisely. If you and I are going to be agents of mercy in this world, mercy puts a monitor on my mouth. And it's a good thing. We all need monitors on our mouth, because what we think and what we say needs to be two different things. Okay? In other words, when you say put a monitor on your mouth, what are you saying, Pastor? It means I'm not mean to people. I'm not rude to people. You know, when the clerk's a jerk, I don't get to be rude back. No, you don't, if you're going to be a Christian. When somebody's rude to me, I don't get to tell them, well, you little... No. If you're going to be a true Christian, you don't. You know why? Because if they're rude, they're probably expecting you to be rude back. But when you show kindness and you show mercy, it's unusual. And trust me, they're going to take notice of that. I can't be sarcastic to people. I have to choose my words wisely. Here's what Colossians 4 and 6 tells me as a Christian. When you walk, you should always be kind and pleasant. So you'll be able to answer anyone in the way you should. Pleasant. Kind. Is that easy? No, it's not easy. Have I always done it? No. Do I still fail? Yes, I do. But I'm striving to become more like Him. Being kind, being pleasant, being merciful to others. That's what you should do. Let me show you another verse in Ephesians 4 and 29. It says, do not say harmful things, but say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger. How do I do that, Pastor? Many of you were probably raised in a family where put downs was common. You're so stupid. I mean, how come you can't be like your brother or your sister? You heard all kinds of put downs. And that's just a part of the way you were raised. I'm asking that you ask the Lord to help you with that. Because death and life's in the power of the tongue. And put downs can affect you deeply. I would really encourage you husbands. And again, I'm talking to Wayne here. Speak very gently and kindly with your wives. Wives, speak very gently and kindly to your husbands and speak wisely and kindly to your children. Oh, you made a C. Well, you dumb little moron. I can't believe you. No. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Speak words of kindness to your children. Words of kindness to your spouse and to those that are around you. When somebody smarts off at you at Brookshire's, don't smart off back. Show kindness. Be pleasant with your words. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. That's why you're to be different, to have the nature of Christ so that you make an impact in this community. Here's what the scripture says in James 3 and 17. The wisdom that comes from heaven is pure and peace-loving. In other words, when I'm wise, I love peace and not conflict. With your mouth, you carry a bucket of gas and you carry a bucket of water. And if you want to extinguish the situation, you speak words of life with your mouth. And if you want to make it a bonfire, you just say, hey, you think you got something, big boy? You come on. And here we go. Right? Here we go. Same tongue, different words, different outcome. Am I helping anybody this morning? All right. I have a lot more to say, but I understand the time. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you this last one and then we'll go. Here's how you can show mercy to a mean world. Are you ready? Value saving people over keeping rules. Now, this is not going to set well with you, but I'm going to show you what Jesus did. In God's book, saving people is a whole lot more important than keeping the rules. Because rules to God are not as important as relationships. Are rules important? Yes. But not over relationships. And here I'm going to show you. Jesus modeled this. You can find it in Matthew 12 and 1. Okay? It was against the religious law for you to go into the grain fields and pick grain and eat on a Sunday. That was considered work. It was against the law. You can find this in Matthew 12 and 1. Jesus and his disciples were hungry. I've told you this before. There are people that Jesus did not heal because the scripture says he did no mighty works among them, save he healed a few sick folk, which means that there were sick folks that were not healed because of their unbelief. But nowhere in scripture will you find that Jesus ever passed up a hungry person. Can't find it. It's not in there. And his disciples were hungry, and it happened to be on a Sabbath. And the scripture says that Jesus walked through the cornfields, and he started pulling off grain. And it just so happened the Pharisees were there to see him. And the Bible says they were indignant. In other words, they were mad. And they come up to him, and they said, hey, Jesus, check this out. It's Sunday. You shouldn't be doing that. That's against the law. And Jesus basically looked at him and said, hey, check this out. They're hungry, so I'm going to do it. Their hunger propels me to break your rule because I never walk away from a hungry person. Are rules important? Sure they are. They help govern society. We need rules, absolutely. But they're not so important that you don't value a soul over a rule. Well, the rule says I don't do this. But if there's a hungry person, do you know what I'm going to encourage you to do? I'm going to encourage you to step out and minister to that hungry person and don't worry about what everybody else says. In fact, I can show you another instance. It was against the religious rule to heal on the Sabbath, but I can show you in Scripture where Jesus did it. And again, it made the Pharisees burning hot. And this is what Jesus says. He says, you know what? I'd rather that you show mercy and love and kindness and help save someone than keep a rule. Are you with me? Okay. All right, and I'm closing. In Matthew 23 and 23, Jesus says to the Pharisees, you Pharisees are careful to tithe 10% of your income. There's people that tell me, Jesus never mentioned tithing. Nope, that's not true. It's not true. He did. You can find it. It's in Matthew 23 and 23. Jesus looks at the Pharisees, and the only time, y'all, I may be wrong, but the only time I see in the Scripture, there's only one time in Scripture that I see that Jesus ever commends Pharisees, and this is the only time right here. He says, okay, guys, I'll give you this one. You got this right. You tithe 10% of your income. That's good. You got that right. Keep doing that. But he went on to say, here's something else that is very important. Being fair to people and showing mercy. You're not doing that. Being just with people, you're not doing that. Faith, you're not even showing faith. You're not even doing that. And so he goes back and he says, while you're giving 10% of your income, that's good. I applaud that. Keep doing that. But don't forget what is equally important. Showing justice, having mercy, and having faith. That's equally as important. So I say to all of us Christians, when you say Jesus never talked about paying tithes, yes, he did. It's in there. He commended the Pharisees. You got this right. You're paying tithes. You're giving 10%. I applaud you. You should do that. But don't forget, there's things that are just important. You need to show justice. You need to show mercy. You need to have faith. Have faith in people. You see them this way, but have faith that I can get them from here to there. And you know how I'm going to do that? I'm not going to do that looking down on people. I'm not going to do that getting involved with all of their stuff. I can accept and not approve. Here's how I'm going to do that. I'm going to be willing to not be afraid of what people say about me in order to get involved with somebody's life to help save them. Jude says this, and snatching some of them out of the fire. You know what that means? If you're snatching them out of the fire, it means you're pretty close to it. You're not in it, but you're pretty close. I'm going to get close enough that I can get you out. I'm just not going to partake. I'm not going to get contaminated. And you know what Jesus says that is? That's mercy. How can all of us relate to an increasingly mean world? Walk out of here this morning and start applying what you've heard. Not just hear it, but do it. And that's very difficult because our human nature, we want to strike back. You're rude, I want to be rude. You're sarcastic, I want to be sarcastic. You're being a moron, I want to show that back to you. But that's not the way of Christ. That's not the way of Christ. Would you stand this morning?
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.